Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Rewind, the podcast that rewatches, reviews, and responds to every movie, show, one-shot, and special presentation in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm Al Rodriguez.
And I'm Tony Camarena.
And before we get too far into this week's episode, we want to ask you to follow us on social media. We are currently on Twitter and Instagram at @MCU_Rewind. We should take Blue Sky now that that's open to everyone. We'll get around to that one. No idea which of these we'll use regularly. Follow us on all of them.
Mm-hmm. Al, I say you don't post on Blue Sky. I'll make an account and I won't post on Threads. And mm-hmm. we'll just keep on like we're keeping on.
Perfect. Yep. We just got to get the name. Okay.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we would also really like it if you gave us some kind of rating on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. As we said last week, any reviews you give us, let us know what accent you want. We will try to say whatever it is you want us to say on air with that accent. Nothing hateful, etc., you know, all that kind of stuff. If it's bad, we just won't say it, and we will tell you.
Yeah, but we will give you a shout. We'll give you a shout out, and I'll make up something for you in a bad French accent.
Yeah, maybe, but depending on what you say, if it's really bad, I don't want people to get something out of that. That's why. All right. Anyway, with that stuff out of the way, today we are rewinding season 2, episode 2 of Iron Fist, titled "The City's Not for Burning," which originally premiered September 7th of 2018.
And as always, here's a rundown of the episode. In a flashback, Danny earns the right to hug a dragon and gain the Iron Fist after being named the winner in a duel against Davos, though Davos neither died nor had he yielded. In modern day, fighting between the Golden Tigers and the Hatchet Men escalates and Danny is unable to convince Mr. Yang, the leader of the Hatchet Men, to look for a peaceful resolution and prevent a war. On the streets, Danny runs into Mary, who is totally normal, and helps her by giving her directions and trying to protect her from gang violence in Chinatown. She develops a crush on Danny in response to his kindness. Joy and Davos use blackmail to acquire an antique bowl from Mika, Joy's friend. Or frenemy, I guess. Colleen convinces Mrs. Yang to talk to her husband into peace. Davos later meets with Mr. Yang regarding the shipments he has coming into the Hatchet Men's docks, when he learns that the group is no longer going to ensure that the items will pass, pass customs, I guess.
We do that too often.
Yeah, I know. So Davos does a crazy martial art thing to his neck and presumably kills him. The end. Of the episode.
Ooh, the end. Yeah.
Let's move on to our fast facts.
On your left.
Uh-huh, on my left. Got it.
Stop! Damn it! Jesus, you are fast.
Stay away.
Look, I don't want to hurt you.
You didn't see that coming?
So the title of this episode, The City's Not Burning, was the title of Immortal Iron Fist number 3 back in February 1976. And, you know, I actually found the summary from Comic Vine. It's only a one-run-on sentence long.
Oh, okay.
Iron Fist and Misty Knight touch down in London and are immediately attacked by the Ravager, where Misty takes some serious blows, motivating Iron Fist to take action. With the Ravager long gone, will Iron Fist's manhunt prove fruitless? I don't know. I mean, I didn't know what happened in issues 1 and 2, so I don't know what he's searching for. But
yeah,
we'll keep an eye out as we discuss this episode 4 of the Ravager, and I guess Misty.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't want to say anything for certain, but I'm pretty sure that this episode and that comic don't really line up very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I'm going to go ahead and jump in here with an Easter egg, just in case you have mine, because I'm worried. I'm always worried when you jump in before me.
I'm going to jump in with a title every time now that you stole it last week.
That's fair. That one's fair. I didn't have a good one, so I needed... So the artifact... So Joy and Davos want that bowl, so they get that artifact from Mika. That is from the Erskine collection. So I'm assuming the family of Abraham Erskine, the scientist who created the Super Soldier Serum for Captain America.
Well, your assumption is wrong.
Oh, no.
So I'll chime in this. Oh, I didn't write his name. Hold on. Oh. It's a different person.
Ah, okay. All right. I did like a little bit of research, but not a lot. So, okay.
I didn't write his first name. give me a sec.
Okay, okay.
Ernst Erskine. His collection.
Ernst. That's yes. The name? Okay.
He was in the comics. He was the biographer of Orson Randall, the previous Iron Fist.
Oh.
Who appears in, he appears via flashbacks in Immortal Iron Fist number 6 back in June of 2007. Orson Randall, who I believe, well, they reference a lot in this season. I don't know if they talk about him specifically. But yeah, he was like an Iron Fist like for like 100 years. Like, he was immortal for some reason. The only Iron Fist I ever read was, as we were covering season 1, was like, the acclaimed 2007 run, which I thoroughly enjoyed, but it's like Orson Randall is a big part of that.
Okay.
The wiki specifically says he has no relation to Dr. Erskine, developer of the Super Soldier Serum.
Well, I completely missed that. okay. So I think that's the difference between like how we searched. Mm-hmm. Because, and God, this happened like a couple weeks ago too with Luke Cage. I just searched for, I was like, oh, Erskine. Now let me put closed captioning on to see, okay, it is spelled the same. Mm. Okay, cool. So I looked up, you know, Dr. Erskine and like, oh, no relation. It's probably just a reference. Okay, cool. And then I moved on and you were like, oh, let me search Erskine Collection. Is that what you did?
I did Erskine Collection, Iron Fist. Mm.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. See, you tried harder than I did. I just also made an assumption and tried to validate it.
Yeah. Then I got the information about Ernst, and then I Googled Ernst Erskine related Abraham Erskine, and like the Marvel Comics wiki specified that they were not related.
Ah, yeah. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that still counts for me, though.
Unfortunately, it does. You got a participation trophy in that one.
Those trophies still count.
Yep. I'm surprised you didn't say this. In the flashback, and this is an actual Easter egg that we've counted, we see him in the accurate Iron Fist costume.
Tony, I always forget the obvious ones. We've been through this. Like, I always forget obvious ones like that. I always forget to call out when we see Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Like, all of those. They just, like, oh, hey, cool, that thing. This obvious thing that I know it. I recognize it immediately, but I just forget to even write it down. Like, okay.
All right. So the coffee shop that Mary and Danny are at in this episode is Coffee A Go-Go, which was one of the hangout spots for Iron Fist and Colleen and the X-Men in the comics back when apparently Colleen was a roommate of Jean Grey's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I skipped over this when we were talking about the costume. In the comics, Davos fought Wendell Rand, Danny's father. And Wendell wins and gives the Iron Fist to his son, I guess. I said Wendell wins. I'm assuming he gave the Iron Fist to Danny. I don't know how Danny got the Iron Fist.
Huh.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember you, back when we did season one, you giving a little bit more of the history.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that the reason that they were trapped was because Wendell Rand wanted to, he was looking for Kunlu, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Hmm. Okay.
We have a couple of actors, and characters to talk about. One is Sam Chung, who works with Danny in their moving company, and, Colleen talks to him at the community center. Not in the comics, unfortunately, but the actor has some nerd cred. His name is James Chen. He has a couple minor things, like he was a police officer in the Amazing Spider-Man movie. He was also an amnesty officer in the episode of The Mandalorian, where we follow the scientist around Coruscant season 3.
But that weird episode. Okay.
Yeah. If anyone knows him, they know him as Cal in 19 episodes of The Walking Dead. Oh. I don't remember him in that, but I looked up the episodes and that was still when I was watching it. So he was there for 19 episodes and he made a big impression. So... and second and lastly, we are going to be talking about Mary Walker, aka many things. Mary is played by Alice Eve, her most famous nerd cred. She's in one episode of Black Mirror, season 3, episode 1, called Nosedive. And she's Carol Marcus in Star Trek Into Darkness, the second and my least favorite J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie.
Yeah, that's I would hope that that's everyone's least favorite.
I don't know. I mean, I bet there are like some like really big Benedict Cumberbatch fans who only like that movie.
Yes. All right, yeah.
But Mary Walker in the comics, a.k.a. Typhoid Mary, spoiler, she's a villain, originally premiered in Daredevil issue 254 back in January of 1988. And Mary's thing is she has a dissociative identity disorder, or at the time probably called multiple personality disorder. So she has 5 different personalities. I think we've seen 2. I can't remember if we see the other 2, and the last one we will not see.
Oh, okay. Oh, in the season? Okay.
Yeah. So the first one is Mary. I copied these off of the Marvel wiki, just like short descriptions. She's a timid and quiet pacifist woman, exhibiting compassionate feelings and an inability to access her paranormal powers. On the other hand... We've met Mary. I believe we've met a version of Typhoid, an adventurous, lustful, and violent persona who employs her psionic abilities erratically. Typhoid is identified by the right side of her face being totally pale. Moreover, Typhoid's body temperature is constantly elevated. This fever disturbs her mental stability. We have Bloody Mary, who we could also have met, who we could be Bloody Mary, a sadistic, brutal misandrist. As Bloody Mary, she uses her telekinetic powers to cover her body in metal scraps as body armor. Moreover, Bloody Mary demonstrates an affinity to firearms. Similar to Typhoid, Bloody Mary has half her face a pale hue, the opposite side of Typhoid. We also have Walker, who is fully aware of her condition, being focused, detached, and stable. Although no physical evidence is apparent, Walker can use her psionic and pyrokinetic abilities.
Oh, okay.
And lastly, the one we're not going to see, Mutant Zero, because she apparently is a mutant.
Oh, okay. Right.
She's a represents a no-nonsense, inefficient military type. We were talking off air, it's like, one of these powers doesn't make sense. Her pyrokinesis that just popped up there, I had to look up. It's been there since her first appearance in Daredevil 254 and is constantly used. Frequently used. But,
yeah, in the comics, when she shows up, you can assume that that's in her regular set of powers.
Yeah.
Assuming that that's the personality, the persona that's active at the time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Tony, I think you did forget one of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know which personality this is, but one of her powers is on reveal, all other cards get -1 power.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't know how that translates, but that's the Marvel Snap card.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, is it Magic the Gathering? Because I haven't played either of those games. I mean, I've learned how to play Magic the Gathering, but I have not gotten into it.
That's good. That's good. You have enough other expensive hobbies.
Yeah, and I've said this on there before. I give Wizards of the Coast my money with Magic or with Dungeons and Dragons. I'm not giving it to them with Magic.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's move on to our heroes.
It is one thing to question the official story and another thing entirely to make wild accusations or insinuate that I'm a superhero.
I never said you were a superhero.
Didn't?
Mm-mm.
Well, good, because that would be outlandish and fantastic.
I saw you. You're a hero. A for real superhero, which is, I'm not like a groupie stalker type. But
it's too late for heroes.
Heroes, your word, not mine.
So Danny, out on the street, right?
Yep. Walking around.
Guy runs out. Recently been hatcheted, right?
Yes.
He's so focused on seeing if he's okay. He's so focused on fisting everything in the previous episode, too. Mm-hmm. He doesn't think about opening his hand and healing him.
Yeah, I really thought he was going to do that.
Yeah.
At this point, like, oh, he's going, oh, no. He just, all right. He tells someone else to call the police, and then I guess he leaves. I guess he doesn't stick around and talk to police. I don't know.
I have that too, because the next thing he's walking down the street in the same outfit.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Oh. Well, all right. So this, like I was expecting more from this, like from Danny, like to be more upset about it. Like, oh, the, you know, gang war is really spilling out. But like, this doesn't, like, it's part of the plot. It makes sense. But like, it doesn't grow, right? Like, for example, in the season finale of Luke Cage, what we just saw, like, you know, Mariah is in jail, and apparently that starts this whole gang war, because now there's a power vacuum, right? And I guess right now there's not exactly a power vacuum, but, like, you have two gangs who are essentially fighting each other for territory, right? They've got some things going on, and that's spilling out into, like, other people are seeing it. It's not, like, how do I say? It's not like affecting people that much in their daily lives, other than they're going to see dead people every so often, which is not common, thankfully. But like it still feels like, all right, it feels a bit much. But also, God, Danny is just so nonchalant about it.
I know.
Like, yes, he wants to help the person, but like, that's it. All right.
Well, then, okay, this is the thing with Danny, I think.
Okay.
He doesn't understand the scale of danger. I think a man being hatcheted and Mary not knowing directions are the same level of problem to him.
I guess so. Yeah, that's... Yeah, all right.
He is just as concerned in both situations. Actually, he's more concerned for Mary, frankly.
Because could make the argument. What was that?
Because she has a dizzy spell?
Yeah, I mean, you could make the argument, like, she doesn't know what she's, like, she's, I'm trying to think of a, how to describe it. Like, she can't really, like, protect herself in that sense, right? If something goes wrong. And he, I guess, wants to be the big, strong protector man in that sense, in every scenario kind of thing. Versus the other guy who we saw hatcheted, like, well, he kind of, that's the work he signed up for. You know, he's a gang member. Like, apparently, you know, Danny immediately knew this guy was a Golden Tiger. I don't know how he knew, but he was later saying, like, oh yeah, I saw a Golden Tiger get hatcheted. That's crazy.
Was he one of the guys who fought him at the restaurant, maybe?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I.
That was like, that was the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm proud of Danny. He does something I've never seen in a TV show, where a woman flirts with the main character and he immediately within the same like time hanging out, he says, I have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he realizes what's going on. Like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's, like, when that happens in some other show, it's usually, like, because it's a sitcom and they want to set up, you know, some comedy beats, or it's some kind of drama and they want to set up some kind of drama stuff. Yeah, like, it's just for conflict, right? And he's immediately like, no, sorry, I'm taken. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what? This probably happens to Danny all the time, because he's just the friendliest man in New York, and he's not like creepy, and he's attractive, so he probably gets like women all the time are having crushes on him.
I mean, you say that, but Tony, I don't think back when I was dating, I was creepy, and I didn't get anywhere near as many women coming up to me as Danny does in this episode.
Well, yeah, I mean, but were you offering them help all the time? And were you walking nonchalantly from violent crimes?
Ooh, you know, I didn't do that one. That's probably what it was. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, all right. That makes sense.
Yeah. And the other thing he does is, before, we skipped over the flashback, so we'll go back to the flashback in a sec.
Okay, cool.
But, like, he meets with Mr. Yang, and ends up iron fisting the table, because that's his only solution to all life's problems.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is what we were saying last week, right? Mm-hmm. He's letting his emotions get the better of him.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it on display right here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One more thing I want to say about mm-hmm. when he was with Mary that I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
That was some of the cringiest dialogue I've seen in any of the Defenders saga.
Her specifically, like what she was saying?
Her and like, him. It's just like they're so...
Yeah.
They're both so sickeningly sweet.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Yes, I thought you were saying like something else. Okay, got it. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I just it really rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, Tony, you've got however many episodes. How many episodes in the season? 10.
10.
Well, you've got 8 more to watch.
No, I mean they're not all going to be like this because Mary's personality probably isn't the same all the time.
All right, you've got 7 other episodes of this. I don't know which ones, but at least 7 more where this happens. Mm-hmm.
All right, talk about the flashback.
Yeah, that sounds good. So the flashback when he's in Kunlun and mm-hmm. doing the fight with Davos, right? To see who gets to fight the dragon to become the Iron Fist.
Hug the dragon.
Oh, that's right, hug it. Hug the dragon.
Mm-hmm. So the judges or the elders of Kunlun, whoever those people are, one of them is Davos's father.
Mm-hmm. Did we know, like, I knew that. Is that something we find out later in the season?
I feel like we learned in season 1.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I just couldn't remember why I knew that. So, okay, yes, but
maybe
we cool, we know.
Yeah. But he calls them, he introduces them by name. Davos mm-hmm. is just Davos. Danny is Daniel Rand Kai.
Mm-hmm.
This guy already has 2 names. Why did they give him if it was Davos Kai and Daniel Rand Kai, it's like, it's a title, I get it. But no, it's just Danny Rand Kai.
Yeah, but... I tried to look up, like, if, like, adding the Kai meant something.
Mm-hmm.
As we've already established in this episode, I don't try that hard when I do this research. So I couldn't find a reason why, like what, if there's any cultures out there that add that, right? Like I know son, like if they called him Daniel Rand's son, that means something. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it means. I just know that it does. Kai, like maybe they just took that concept for this. Again, maybe that's actually something from the comics too. Like that's also possible that they just took that directly from the comics and didn't ask questions. But yeah, that's a good question. Like maybe it's a title, maybe it means something. I mean, Davos, if he was born with just like, if the, in this culture, they just give people one name, he gets Davos. Sure. And Danny's like, all right, well, they know other cultures use 2 names. So like, yeah, we'll call him by his full name, Daniel Rand. And then I don't know why they edited his name.
So in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll tell you my research stuff. I just Googled. Okay. Why is he called Daniel Rand Kai?
Okay. Wait, when you put Rand Kai, is it one word or 2?
Rand hyphen Kai. I will also watch the show with subtitles.
Hyphen. Oh, okay. Yeah, I hate subtitles. Okay.
Yeah.
I only turn the subtitles on when I don't know what they say.
Oh, I only put the subtitles. I put the subtitles on every time we do this show, so I can catch stuff like this.
Mm. That's fair. Okay.
Apparently, in the comics, Wendell Rand... is Wendell Rand Kai. His father is Wendell Rand Kai. Mm-hmm. He got this as a part of being inducted into Kunlun's society. So he inherited the name from his father. It just seems random because they never mentioned that in the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah.
So
okay.
That was actually an Easter egg that either of us could put down, but
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Davos is a cheater. He tears that ribbon and takes his mask off to knock Danny off his rhythm.
I kind of wonder if this is one of those, like, yeah, we don't really care. Like there's very few rules in this, in this fight.
Yeah. In fact, like, so few rules that the one rule is it ends when he yields or he dies. And then they stop the fight early. So.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually wasn't sure. Is that a rule? Like, is it only yield or die? Like,
that is what I believe it was Davos's father who said, but the elder says at the beginning of the fight.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Again, I was under the impression, don't remember why. Okay, so that makes sense. Okay, so this is a little bit of a thing that I kind of had later for like the 12%. Tony, why do you think Davos' dad ended the fight early?
Because he cares about his son.
Okay. I have a different theory. Okay. And so here's the thing. I don't know if they say the answer later in the season, but for now, you know, this is my theory. And again, completely forgot this since the last time, you know, I watched this. So we see Davos in this episode, right? When he, at the end of the episode, when he kills Mr. Yang, he does that, you know, that neck trick that like gives him a heart attack or whatever, right? I don't know what it does. He tries to do that to Danny kind of early on in the fight.
Oh, and I did not notice that at all.
I had to rewind just to double check, and he does it. And let's see, I wrote down notes. So that is at the 25 minutes into the episode. And when that happened, the camera cut to Davos's dad, who gave like this kind of concerned look to one of the elders, like one of the other people sitting there. So I'm wondering if Davos's dad ended the fight. He's like, all right, Danny's a good fighter. My son's a little cheater. Punk kid, let's just call it. I think we're good. I wonder if it's that, right?
That or he's like, maybe that's like a forbidden move or something like that, and he doesn't want to give someone who would use that move the Iron Fist.
Yeah, it could be something like that. Yeah, so maybe forbidden to them as a people, like, you know, we don't when we fight, we don't just kill people. There's no honor in that or whatever, right?
Yeah, there's no fighting back from that.
Exactly. Yeah. So like maybe they're not even supposed to know that. Like maybe it's like in a forbidden book or something, and he like broke in somewhere to read. I have no idea.
He was there with Caecilius in Doctor Strange. He's one of the other guys.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how he learned it.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think it has something to do with him doing that move. But I don't remember if we ever find out a real answer. No, I hope we do.
Yeah. Well, good job, Al. You rarely know something I don't. All right. Anything else?
Yeah. Sorry. No, you're right. It is rare. I was thinking about it. It's rare. It's rare. Yeah.
anything else for Danny?
Let's see. Not much. I mean, we did say that that Danny meets with Mr. Yang to try to stop the war with the Tigers. We didn't say much about it, but that's pretty much it. You know, I'm just going to mention this here. I wasn't sure to put it here or 12%. I'm wondering if it's just going to keep happening throughout the season. So far, like, Danny keeps ending up in these situations just because he needs to, I think, for the plot of the show, right? So at the episode, this starts with him just seeing a hatchet guy get killed. Right, like, oh, that just happened, right? Because it had to happen to the main character. At the previous episode, you know, at the end, he and Colleen just so happened to be at the restaurant when the Golden Tigers walk in to fight. I know Colleen said she wanted to be there, like, to try and get information from the owner about the box, but like that feels just luck kind of things, right? So yeah, so this reminds me of a book I read a couple years ago. So it was a book on like how to make a good story, specifically for video games in general. But the author kept referencing other stories. And when talking about this concept, it's like, yeah, you have to make a story work well for, you know, why is the hero there? And then the thing happens to them, not thing happens to the hero because the hero is the main character of the story, right? The example that he gave, and this was like one of the few things I remember from the book, cause it was years ago, was, the third Spider-Man film. The one with, Toby Maguire.
Yes.
Yeah, Toby, really?
Dude, you're on a Marvel podcast. You need to know this.
For some reason, like, I knew the name and it just sounded wrong. And I was just embarrassed to say it. I was like, no, that can't be right. Anyway, with Toby Maguire, in that one, like, he's just out and about being Spider-Man, and like, and then Venom suit just attaches to him, right? Like, seemingly out of, like, for the hell of it, right?
He's on a date with Mary Jane, and it like it falls and like attaches to his bike or something like that.
But, yeah, it's random. Something like it's that. Random. But it, Exactly. Yeah. It could have happened to anyone. It just so happened to happen to a hero. Right. And so kind of the same thing here is what it's feeling like. Like, you know, these things are kind of random. Like there's no specific reason that it's happening to Danny other than it has to happen to him. So I kind of hope that, you know, once we're past some setup that gets, we don't see that some more, but it was kind of glaring.
Yeah. So I've got to say, That shows me that the writers care more about our other protagonist, Colleen. Because the stuff she gets into, there are reasons for it.
That is true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they really are writing for her. And Danny's like, oh, that's right. We have this guy. I guess he sees someone get killed? Yeah, okay. What happens next? Oh, we need to introduce this other character. He flirts with someone. Yeah, okay. Sure, let's write it in. All right, now Colleen, cool. Let's get
Colleen,
back to her.
Like, Colleen intervenes in the crime, right? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But it's the kids from the restaurant, so they're there to trap her. So, like, there's a reason for this.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, there's a reason it happens to her, specifically. They're getting revenge, all of that. And then that goes on from there. It leads to more stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll just talk about Colleen. She quickly disarms the kids, and they say, don't mess with Rhino. And I was hoping it was Paul Giamatti in a big robot suit, like the Rhino. But it's not.
Ah, if only.
Yeah. So, she follows the kids and talks to Rhino and makes friends with BB. Rhino and BB, not from the comics. I feel like it would be so easy just to pull random names from the comics. But I don't know. I feel like some people are like, oh, this is too, I don't know, fan servicey. I feel like it's missed opportunities.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is from a comic book, so why not?
Mm-hmm.
Just grab random names. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Colleen, instead of walking away immediately after the problem's not solved, like Danny does.
She follows him
and offers these kids help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she tries. She does what she can. She doesn't force them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, eventually they'll figure it out. They'll learn. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm trying to think.
That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, well, she uses, well, with the kids, but, like, she uses her connections through the charity, through the community center to talk to Miss Yang and convince him to prevent the triad war.
That's right. I completely forgot about that. Yeah. So she goes, her and Danny, they go to the gambling night, right? At the community outreach center that night. Yeah. Community center. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something. That's good. Yeah.
So let's see. Danny punched a desk. Nothing has happened. Nothing happens. Uh-huh. Colleen negotiates and convinces the wife to call off the war. Mm-hmm. Danny walks away from a bleeding murder victim. Mm-hmm. Colleen, when she encounters a crime, not only does she try and intervene, when she finds out there was a trap for her, she tries to help the kids.
Yep.
I think I know who the protagonist of the show is.
True. One more step. You mentioned Danny. It just flat out ignores a bleeding murder victim. Mm-hmm. He could have helped him. I don't know exactly the extent of his healing power with his iron fist hand, but he can. He did it a couple of times in season one.
Yeah, I mean, didn't he heal Colleen from like a gunshot wound?
I'm trying to remember. Like, he healed from poison. I don't remember if it was from a gunshot.
Oh, was it from poison? Let's see.
It might have been. Oh, you know, wasn't it an arrow? Wasn't it one of those poison tipped arrows that the hand uses? Or poison tipped swords?
I think so. Oh, he does get knocked out. It's like, sometimes his fist near the poison heals wing. I pulled up the wiki.
Wow, we are using that wiki way more on this show for some reason.
I don't know. Maybe I care more. Well, no, I remember the first season less.
True.
I think that's what it is.
It's been a while since we, I mean, it's been a couple of years, right? Like, as I pull up our schedule, So our episodes on the first season of Iron Fist dropped 2001. So
no, it did not. It was 2021.
Sorry, you know what I meant.
When we were 13 years old.
2021, yes. So the May 3rd, 2021 was when we did the finale. That's when that dropped. And then we usually recorded it a little ahead of time. So let's say end of March, early April.
Mm-hmm.
So, 3 years. We're at just under 3 years.
So, yeah. Yeah, so it's been a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Try to see. It doesn't say how she was poisoned. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But he healed her. He has some kind of powers. All right. Don't know if he can heal stab wounds or hatchet wounds, but he can do something.
True. All right. Anything else for Colleen or her sidekick, Danny?
No, I've got nothing else for them. All right, cool. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get back to it.
Welcome to Baskin Robbins. Would you like to try our mango fruit blast?
And Jerry's named a flavor after me, so?
Stark Raving Hazelnuts.
Not bad.
For your consideration, the Jerry.
All right, Tony, we have our webcams on right now, so you can see into my home office. What am I missing?
Any decoration on your back wall, honestly. I mean, you've got your shelf off to the side, but it's a blank wall behind you. So
you're so close. You're so close. Exactly. Fine art. The finest of art.
Decorations.
Yeah. And there's only one place I will ever get my fine art. Fine Art Collections by Rand. The amazing people at Fine Art Collections by Rand have curated collections from all over the world. And today, you can give them money for some of that fine art. Art-sniffing hamsters have scoured the world over looking for this stuff. They found bowls, new and ancient. They found a lot of bowls. This collection is mostly bowls. I don't know why, but that's what they found. Also, they wore little Indiana Jones outfits while doing it. It's super cute. Imagine buying the Mona Lisa. Now, you can't really buy it, of course, but imagine buying it. That's the feeling you'll get when you buy from Fine Art Collections by Rand. Use promo code MCURewind to get a free hamster version replica of the Mona Lisa with purchase of two or more ancient bowls.
You sure the theme's not hamsters? Last week you said the theme wasn't hamsters.
Yeah, hamsters are going to show up because they have to. It's an Iron Fist season, but the theme is not hamsters.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, let me move my webcam a little to the right, and you can see I do actually have a lot of stuff on the side on this other shelf. Yeah, I did last week take down my other shelf. That used to be, well, actually right behind me. But now you just see a wall. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our villains.
I ask you, to what end? Dread it? Run from it? Destiny arrives all the same.
Anytime, boys. Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra!
Kill Luke Cage. Kill Jessica Jones and the devil of Hell's Kitchen, whoever he is.
His name is Matthew. And my name is Elektra Natchez. You work for me now.
We put Mary here because something's up with her. So.
Yeah. Now I guess it's fair enough to upgrade her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone says. One of her personalities tells her to stay away from Danny Rand. Mm-hmm. Is that Mary saying it? Is that another personality? Who told her to stop moving stuff?
That's a good question. Like I did not know that there were that many different personas. I'm wondering if the show is going to show us more than what. Do you know, Tony? Is the show going to show us more than
I honestly don't remember. I mean, I was unaware that there were so many. I thought there was just Mary and Typhoid Mary. Until I did research today, I didn't know there were so many.
Okay. I also was under the impression there were only two, but that also could just be me making that assumption and like completely forgetting her whole story in season one. Like, I remember just the fact that she's in it and like one scene later in the season. Mm-hmm. So,
I I don't know what, I can't remember what they do with her. I remember bits and pieces. But
okay.
Her, she's just such an interesting villain. This multiple personality disorder, is, gives it a lot of potential. But yeah, like they, I don't remember him having a, Iron Fist, the series, having a big villain like this that's so memorable. Like we have Kingpin or Killgrave or any of the three villains, Mariah, Cornell, or Bushmaster in Luke Cage.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and a little bit of a spoiler if people haven't seen all of season two yet. She's not the main villain of the season. Like I don't remember what happens with her. Like she's just kind of around.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, I'm sure it ties in.
Yeah, with the announcement that Bullseye is going to be in Daredevil Reborn, makes me like, I hope she survives, because I like Alice Eve as an actress also, in the stuff I've seen her. Oh. So like, okay, I want to see her come back if they bring back Iron Fist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But like that's all I really have for Mary, just like praising her character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I've got...
She's not in it much, right? So, yeah.
No.
In this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I have, like, all of Joy and Davos together, even though Davos has a little part by himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Davos needs a shipment, which is most likely a person that we decided last week.
That's what you decided. I completely forgot.
Yeah, I don't know what the shipment is, but I'm assuming anytime you need something smuggled in, it must be people.
All right. We'll see, but okay.
Yeah. And now he needs a bowl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Based Super on these bowl. Assumptions and evidence, what's his plan?
Let's see, a person and a bowl. Well, I think up next, they need a plate, and then they also need a cup, and then some silverware.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly made from silver. I'm not sure how old they are. But once they have all of that combined, the person that they're shipping in is obviously some sort of personal chef who is going to make a very delicious meal for Danny.
Mm.
That's it. So, just a nice meal.
Yeah. A meal that he is so obsessed with, he will ask for another helping, but Davos will make him trade the Iron Fist for it.
Something to that effect, yeah. It's, Tony, have you ever heard of Tamako?
I have not.
Okay, so it's from The Simpsons. Oh,
yes, it's the tobacco tomato.
Yep.
I'm just like, that sounds really familiar. And then it just hit me.
So, yes, it's from The Simpsons where they crossbreed the tobacco and tomato with a little bit of radiation. Healthy dose.
Yeah.
So that way it grows overnight. And so, it was like immediately, like everyone was immediately getting hooked on it, right? They're, they're craving it and they're addicted. So yeah, that's basically what's going to happen. So they're going to make, Danny some tamako, themed dishes, and then he's going to get hooked on it, and then he will trade away the Iron Fist.
Makes sense. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, he wants that bowl. Davos does. Really, really bad. So bad he'll kill for it. But not so bad that he'll willingly sleep with a woman for it.
Yeah, he's way more comfortable with murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like maybe he doesn't need the Iron Fist. Maybe he needs therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably someone needs to convince him of that. Villains, honestly.
Yeah, it is. They just need to talk to someone. Instead, they're alone. Just, you know, got an echo chamber of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to get another perspective.
Strangely enough. Oh, wait. Ah, screw it. Strangely enough, the only villain who got out of the echo chamber is actually Echo. So.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry,
slight spoiler for
that.
Yeah,
that's why I said screw it. Like, I was trying to do the math of how long it's been.
Yeah.
When this drops. I feel like it's been 3 months or close to that.
Yeah, you can make an assumption of the show. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't spoil anything for Echo.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Did not spoil nothing for the season.
Yeah, and then he sleeps with her very aggressively, but she likes it, so that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
And then yeah, it gets recorded. So he sleeps with a woman. He obviously doesn't want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. But he does a sacrifice for what he needs to do, for like whatever his plan is with this bowl and this delivery. So the next day, he goes to Yang, and Yang actually gives him his money back, which I'm surprised. But tells him he can't honor the deal they made because he's making peace.
I'm a little surprised at Yang. My first thought was like, oh, he's just giving a refund because he can't, commit to his end of the deal. Which, at a minimum, I guess is good. But like, I don't know, man. If you're gonna cancel some contracts, you want to like do something to get some goodwill, right? Like,
yeah,
give some money back or try to set something up to like help him in some way. Like, I don't know. This is just asking for trouble. Which, as we see, like, okay, he died. I don't know. I feel like Davos would have killed him no matter what. But all right.
But this is just giving me a thought of him. If he had the Iron Fist, he would just be like bursting people's heads, right?
Probably, yeah. He'd be like a Sith. The second the Sith realized that, oh, they can just crush people's skulls with the Force. Okay, well, that's how I win fights now. Done.
Yeah. Anything else for Davos and Joy?
You know what? Actually, one other thing, talking about Davos in this one spot, when he decides to kill Mr. Yang, like, he didn't have to. Like, he just chose to do that out of anger, frustration, right? Yeah. Like, this is him showing us, as the audience, like, okay, he is a really bad guy now. You know, we've, throughout the history of the MCU, you know, we've seen characters who are like, yeah, they're bad, but they're also kind of right in terms of what they're thinking. And Davos, I guess, you could have made an argument a little bit earlier, like, oh, yeah, he wanted the Iron Fist because Danny sucks at it. And now, like, oh, okay, maybe Danny sucks, sure, but, like, Davos is just a really bad guy. He should definitely not have it at all. He doesn't even make a good point for, like he would be a better person defending, I don't know what he would be defending because Kunlun is gone, or just waiting the 12 years to go back or something.
He's protecting Daredevil City poorly.
yeah, exactly. So yeah, this is Davos showing true villain, essentially, right? He'll do whatever he has to do to get what he wants.
Which is a delicious meal by a smuggled-in chef.
Yes, the only person who knows how to make good tasting tobacco meals.
Yep. All right, I think we're done with our villains.
Yeah.
Moving on, guy in the chair.
Guy in the chair.
I think that's what I want to do. Is help people with abilities.
No. Not those three wombats. No way.
Where I have Ward written down, but I have nothing interesting to say about him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things. You know, he knows, he figures out pretty quickly, like, all right, Joy wanted a bunch of patents. To own a bunch of those patents for whatever reason. Like, she probably wants one specific one, but a lot of them are junk, so then they have to do all the research to figure out which is the one she really wanted and why. Honestly, I'm curious why they're going to bring it up, because we've talked about patents a little bit in the past. Like, you own a patent so that you can stop other people from making your thing. And selling that.
Like, they say that in this is, like, defensive patents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you stop other people from suing you is very common in the corporate world. So, like, is she going to make something? Like, now I'm really curious, because I thought I knew what her plan was, but now I don't remember. Or are they just not using the word patent, right?
I think, because this is MCU, people have powers, it's a patent that they have from years ago, before powers were more widespread, where it can transfer powers from one person to another using nothing but a very old bowl and a person smuggled in from another country.
Mm, okay.
Yep.
So that could be it. Yeah. That would make sense. That would be, that sounds like it would be, you know, accepted in the patent office very quickly. Like,
yeah,
they just 100%. Read that and like, oh yeah, totally. This makes sense. Yeah. Check it off. You're good. Yeah. So there's that. The other thing with Ward, he doesn't recognize Davos. Have they not met before?
I don't think so, because Davos, didn't he introduce himself to Joy, like, in the finale?
So that was my next question. How did they meet, Davos and Joy? So did he found Joy, like, he sought her out?
Yeah, he approached her in, like, the last scene, or one of the last scenes of season one, to team up. Because, like, he's aware of, like, the Meacham stuff isn't quiet, right? The Meachams are famous mm-hmm. people. So it's like someone whose life was kind of ruined by Danny appearing.
Okay, all right. So they kind of, so he...
And with a lot
so
of
So he's
resources.
Better at doing... true, yeah. Okay, yeah. So he's better at the research of people and, I guess, espionage, maybe?
Yeah.
Than Danny would ever be. Okay, all right. Yeah, that's all I have for Ward.
Yep. You ready to move on to 12% of the plan?
Yeah.
Stark Tower is your baby. Give yourself 12% of the credit.
12%?
An argument can be made for 15.
12%?
Well, I
my baby?
Did do all the heavy lifting. Literally, I lifted the heavy things.
You know, I'm 12 minutes older than you.
Go.
What percentage?
I don't know. 12%.
12%? That is not a plan.
It's barely a concept.
You're taking their side?
I am Groot.
So what? It's better than 11%. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
I just have one small quick thing. Okay. This episode that we watched looks like a single day as far as I can tell, but it is a day after the previous episode. So we get a little bit of a timeline. Mm-hmm. We know this because Mary says so.
Oh, yeah. Two meetings in 2 days.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what she says to Danny. Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I have nothing for 12%. So that's... rate the episode.
I know my value. Anyone else's opinion doesn't really matter.
Earth just lost your best defender. So we're here to fight.
Strongest Avenger.
Access denied.
Strongest Avenger.
Access denied.
Damn you, Stark.
Banner.
Welcome, Strongest Avenger.
Oh, what?
Okay, Tony, how are we rating this episode?
Al, how many random encounters with Danny Rand are you giving this episode?
I'm gonna go with three random encounters. You know, it's again with a lot of setup. But really, we're seeing Colleen Wing be awesome, and that's cool. You know, more of her, less of Danny. The Davos stuff was just weird. Like, I get where they're going with, but like, you know, the stuff with him teaming up with Joy. Like, all right. Okay, I guess. I don't know. Just can't think of a different way to do it. But yeah, it's doing the right thing of showing us, like, yes, Davos is doing this all because he wants to get what he wants.
Yep.
And I guess he believes enough in Joy to follow her plan instead of just killing that lady whose name I did not write down. So yeah.
Mika.
Mika, yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
I'm going to go with 3.5, which is the same I gave last week. I still enjoyed this episode. I was going to knock it down half a point because of that cringy dialogue between Mary and Danny. But then I knocked it up half a point because of the interesting stuff with Mary at the end of the episode. Otherwise, I feel like it was pretty good. It's not better or worse than last episode. So I'm going to say... my three random encounters with Danny Rand is encountering him in the subway as he's going into his secret door punching place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Encountering him at a Subway sandwich spot where he's just, you know, picking up sandwiches for him and Colleen.
Oh, that's a good place to meet him. I'm sure he's also buying that, you know, foot long cookie.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I did see that in the commercial.
Mm-hmm, I really want one.
I'm going to go with, I don't know if this is real, but in Spider-Man 2, they've got the train that's like above the city, which I don't know if that's actually in New York. I know that's true in Chicago. But beneath that, so you know there's a way to go across, and beneath that, I would call that the subway, like beneath the other way. So that subway.
Okay.
And yeah. And also the half one is when he has to replace a teacher. So he's a sub.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That train thing does exist. It's on the Brooklyn side of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if it's in other places too. I don't really know the boroughs, I think, of New York.
I mean, I only went to New York when I was like 14, and we did not go to Brooklyn. So
okay.
Yeah. All right.
All righty. Well, cool. I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up. That was episode 2 of season 2 of Iron Fist. Join us next week where we will be talking about season 2, episode 3, This Deadly Secret. And in the meantime, please remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at @MCU_rewind. Search for us on other social media between now and the time you listen to this. Maybe we'll have made more. anyway, this is the Marvel Cinematic Rewind, signing off.
Have a marvelous day.